Folks, this segment is brought to us by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, Ultramatic Feeders, and the Red Dome Restaurant, Smokehouse, and Steak Pit in Quitman, Texas, which is, hands down, my favorite place to eat in the state of Texas. Well, folks, let's head down to Lake Tawakoni. We haven't been down there in a week or two, but my friend Tony Pennybaker, Catfish Guy Deluxe, is down there on the dock probably. Let's talk some winter blue catfish catching. What do you say? Tony, good morning to you, buddy.
Good morning, Luke. How you doing?
I couldn't be better, man. I'm doing real well. It's cold weather. I've got some questions for you, but, you know, it chilled down here really big time about, well, week and a half or so back. I saw the pictures that you posted and other guys, too, there at Tawakoni of the big blue catfish. So, this is kind of traditionally the time when the bigger ones bite, but I also know that, you know, you've been targeting those since August, catching them. But what do you expect? They were biting good a month ago. Do you expect this cold weather to have an effect on the big ones?
This may affect where you go fishing, that's all. Just have to change locations a little bit.
Okay. Well, give us
plugging at them, keep dragging for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Are you now? This is stuff you do every day, and it's kind of old hat to you, Tony. But a lot of people listening, it's not. Rather than say anchoring on points and places like that that you fish a lot in the warmer water. Now, how is the change when the water's got colder? How the technique of fishing? How does that change?
Well, I take to trolling. I don't drift. A lot of people drift, and that's fine, but I troll. And I use five boards. I use Santee rigs and five rods out the back with planer boards on four of them. Hit the deeper water.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And I'll typically start in about 20 or 30 foot and just work my way around looking for fish and fishing. And I'll bait up with some pretty large baits, not extremely large, but just some good size shad, 8, 9, 10, 12 inches long, and cut them up in pieces. I don't fish with the whole fish. A lot of people do, but I don't. I always cut them up in at least about three pieces. Use them like that.
Well, you know, Tony, it kind of makes sense when they're cut up, even smaller shad, when you open them up and use, you know, say a 3-inch shad or whatever. I know you're using bigger baits, bigger shad, but you know, when you open them up, that kind of puts more scent in the water, to my way of thinking, you know.
Yeah, it gets blood and the scent in there, and if those fish are feeding anywhere around you, they'll come to you.
Right.
You know, I'm not real bad about driving around and looking on the screen. I get bored with that quick.
Yeah,
I just pick a spot and lay out a course and start putting lines in the water.
Yeah, and right. All right. A lot of times, are you targeting humps and stuff like that this time of year?
Man, I try to stay away from those humps.
Okay.
Santee rigs because they're so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And those humps tend to have obstacles on them that'll hang you up, and I may go down beside them.
There you go.
And
yep.
Get close, and you know, and I'll do the timber the same way, but I know where it's at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'll risk disaster. I'll creep in there, and especially if I've fished an hour or two and haven't caught anything yet, I'm going to start getting a little bit braver and going into the danger zone's what I call it.
I know anybody that's fished much knows exactly. That's where you're floating right along, and all of a sudden that rod bows down, and it don't come back up.
No, they don't come back. You're fixing to leave some gear on the bottom.
Yep, and not only that, but, you know, as a guide, what you're doing is disrupts your trip. I mean, you know, you got two or three, four, whatever people in the boat with you. Well, that's kind of shuts everything down till you get unhooked. So, yeah, knowing the lake bottom, that's very, very, very important, especially when you're drifting. Now, I say drifting, you know, drifting, folks, and I know a lot of our listeners know exactly what I'm talking about. A lot of people actually drift, allow the wind to push their boat along, use wind socks, you know, drag to slow the drift down. But this is more of a controlled drift that you do, Tony, right?
Right.
I mean, not a drift.
It's a controlled drift.
The
wind's going to push me. I'm going to go in the direction of the wind, the way the wind's taking me. But I'm going to go just like I'm just going to be trolling and trying to direct my path some as best I can. You know, when the wind gets real high, you're basically just trying to keep the nose of your boat headed straight. That way where all your planer boards and everything are trailing behind you like you want them to.
Otherwise, if you just, you know, you could not control where your baits are with these planer boards and all, it'd be kind of a mess, wouldn't it, if you weren't on a steady, put it this way, if you weren't on a steady, straight course, you know.
Yeah, when you just drift sideways, you know, wind swirls and twirls and the currents are this way and that way, and your boat tends to pitch from one side to the other. You know, you'll be with the nose of your boat pointed this way for 1 minute, next minute it'll be pointed over there.
Exactly.
And then plus the next thing is it's extremely hard in rough water to stand in a boat that's rocking sideways.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, and when we're trolling, we're going with the waves, so we're just riding over them, and it's a lot smoother, you know. And, it's a lot safer, too, when you get right down to it. When a boat's rocking violently sideways, it's easy for people to lose their footing, especially if they're not used to being on the boat.
Yep.
Fall down in a boat, could fall out of the boat. Either one's not any good.
Right, so staying with the one direction the way in, it makes plenty of sense. Keeping the bow of the boat the way the wind action is pushing everybody.
Keep it riding over the waves. It's a lot smoother that way. And then your bags, when it's that rough, you got out a couple of bags, and they'll stabilize the back of the boat. And basically all you have to do is keep the nose kind of left and right.
Right,
and
right.
Some of these trolling motors will do it for you. You can just set them on a course.
Autopilot,
Yeah, that'll just work for you.
Yep. So, well, okay, let's get into, now, of course, everybody probably knows when you're targeting, if you've got, unless you're fishing with some giant, big, big circle hooks, you know, you're going to catch some eater. A lot of these trips, you catch it. I see the pictures that you post on Facebook of lots of good eating fillets. So, you're targeting and you're rigged to catch a 60-plus pound catfish, blue cat. But you also going to, usually, where they are, there's going to be smaller ones that are eaters, right?
Yeah, typically, I use 7-aughts.
Uh-huh.
On two rigs, I'll have 10s on there, and that's because of bait. If bait's large, I want a little bigger hook.
Yep.
But the rest of the rigs will have a 7-aught, not a big profile hook. You know, hooks are all different. One company's 7-aught, maybe the other company's 6-aught.
Yep.
So no standard on it. So the 7-aughts I'm using right now, I bought a huge sum of them several years ago, and I have never used them up. They're really great hooks. And they'll hook. Heck, I catch 2-pound blues. I can't understand it sometimes how they get that hook in their mouth, but they manage to get hooked.
Yeah, yep. A circle hook, though, is the key, too, isn't it, in whenever you're using, whatever summer or winter.
Offset circles. I like the offset circle better than anything, just a circle. You know, the offset gives you one more way to hook them, and that twist in it is really good.
You bet, Tony. The way I describe one of those, an offset circle, is like a corkscrew. That fish clamps down on that hook, and then when he starts swimming away, if you just take a corkscrew and just push it lightly on the palm of your hand and twist it, you'll get the picture. But that's what happens with the fish. It just threads, and he's thinking about eating. He's got that bait in his mouth, and he's probably running away from the rest of them to eat it, and it just corkscrews in there in his lip, doesn't it?
It just, it's going to hang up in that lip, and then they're so sharp.
Oh,
when
he
pulls against it, it's going to go completely through.
He's hooked. Well, we're going to leave your contact information here in a bit, Tony, but I want to, I haven't even mentioned it to you, but I want to mention it to you and all of our friends listening. on December the 14th in Greenville, Texas. Now, Henley Auto Supply is the car quest there in Greenville. Randy Kuhn, it's his place of business. He's got 4 acres right next to Henley Auto Supply, CarQuest. We're going to have what we're calling a winter outdoor rendezvous. People can come in there and get booths, you know, to promote whatever they want to, outdoor gear, whatever. We got a bunch of them already interested in that. But it's going to be a gathering of friends, too. I'm going, through my years of riding and all, I've got tons of good outdoor, or people that make their living in the outdoors. Person wants to bring a pot, and it's not going to be a cooking contest, Tony, but if someone wants to bring a pot and cook him up some chili and share with the others, I'm going to probably smoke a couple of wild porkers up out there, or have them cooked and bring them out there. So I want to invite you and all of our friends, people. I think Randy Kuhn has the booth for $50 for people that want to set up. And there's a lot of people that there's probably 10 or 12 already committed to that. But I'm going to make sure we've got about a half a quart of wood out there. We're going to have a big campfire, weather permitting, of course. December the 14th, you never know what the weather's going to be doing. But hopefully
that's Saturday.
Yeah, it's a Saturday, yep. And
I was looking.
Yeah, it'd be a Saturday. And I just wanted to mention that to you and all of our listeners, too. We'll talk about it a lot as we go along. But right now, I want people to know how to hook up with Mr. Tony Pennybaker. Tell them how to do it, Tony. Maybe even leave a phone number for people that want to catch one of these big blues or a bunch of big blues.
I'm Thunder Cove, Lake Tawakoni guide, or you can call me at 903-474-3078. And it's time to get those trophies if you're interested in a trophy, and if you're not interested in a trophy, yep. I can still fill you up on the Eater Blue Catfish.
That's
2 to 10 pounders. They're biting really good.
Awesome.
And
I see.
In fact, my next 2 trips are eater trips that I got on the books, and then I got a trophy trip coming up, about 3 in a row. But right now is as good a time as there's been to catch those eaters, and the action's really good.
Tony, I appreciate all the info, buddy, and we'll get back with you and get you back on in a week or two. How about it?
That'll work for me.
Folks, for the past 12 years, I have used my Smoking Tech's electric smoker to cook literally hundreds of pounds of game meat and domestic meat. I've made sausage, jerky, cooked wild hog hams with them. They are absolutely awesome, and they're built to last. You can go to Smoking Tech's, SmokinTex.com, and check out their line of smokers. There's different models, bigger ones and littler ones, depending on your needs. Or you can call Diz or Scott at 888-922-1511. Folks, I'd like to hook you up with Butcher Packer Supply. This company has everything you need for making jerky, sausage, curing meats at home, anything to do with home butchering. You can go online to butcher-packer, that's butcher-packer.com, and order everything that you need right there online.